Manx Radio Sport.
Good evening and welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. And for the next half hour, we're going to be taking the latest look at the sporting action to come this weekend and beyond on tonight's programme. We're talking all matters Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT, with 12 days of racing action getting underway from Sunday. We'll hear from two of the local debutants taking on the Snaefell Mountain course for the first time. The MGP Supporters Club gives its thoughts on the new expanded schedule for 2025. And we hear how preparations will be going from the clerk of the course. And outside of that, we catch up with FC Alavan's manager ahead of his side's latest trip in the NWCFL Premier Division. That is all to come this evening. Welcome to Friday Sport Preview on Manx Radio. Now, we are just a couple of days away from the 2025 Classic TT and Manx Grand Prix getting underway on the Snaefell Mountain course on Sunday. And kicking things off tonight, more than 30 newcomers are set to take on the Snaefell Mountain course for the first time during this year's Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT. And six of those are the latest graduates from club racing here on the island in what will be another year that sees emerging Isle of Man talent heading down Bray Hill. And one of those making the step up to racing on the mountain course is Sam Norton, who, amongst other things, has cut his teeth in the road and circuit racing scene here on Manx Shores. And he's been telling us how much he's looking forward to MGP 2025 and the effort it's taken to get to this point.
I'm really looking forward to it, yeah. I'm nervous, but excited at the same time, yeah, can't wait. Obviously going to be very different to short circuits or even down the southern, so I'm just going to go out there and treat it like a Sunday ride, really, and just see how we get on.
How does preparing for racing on the mountain course differ to any other meeting you've done so far?
It's just a lot more thorough, you know, making sure that everything's right on the bike. Keeping everything clean as well, you know, you need a clean bike so you can notice if anything's leaking or if there's any damage to anything. So it's just a lot of late nights in the kitchen getting the thing sorted, yeah.
It's a big financial cost just to make it to racing on the mountain course, whether it's the TT or the Manx as well. How have you found managing that and getting everything in place financially?
Very difficult, to be honest. I've managed to get good sponsors on board this year, which has been great. I've got Blind Smart. He's my title sponsor this year. I've had Man & Motors, LD Glazing, the Billy Redmayne Memorial Fund has helped as well. Totally Wicked. There's a few others as well. Quite a long list. So apologies if I miss anyone out. And then obviously my own money going into it as well. So it's been very tough getting all the funding in place, and you know, I'm still struggling now, you know, even a few days away from it, and there's still things that aren't paid for yet which need to be sorted out.
When people go out onto the mountain course for the first time, some people like have someone more experienced to follow, some people like to just get out there and do their own thing. For those who don't know and maybe haven't seen you race, what do you think your style will be like when you go out there?
I probably prefer to just be on my own. I don't want to get sucked into following someone and not actually learning the track on my own, you know. Just, they told us I'm on the newcomers weekend that there was a newcomer once that was doing really well in the practice week, and then he got to race week and his lap times dropped right off because he'd spent the whole week following someone. He hadn't actually been on his own, so he hadn't properly learned, you know, all the lines and stuff like that. So I don't want to spend the time stuck on someone's back wheel. Obviously it's going to help spending a bit of time behind people, but the majority of it I want to just do it on my own and just kind of go around, yeah.
The mountain course is different to anywhere else in the world. It happens once, maybe twice a year if you're involved in the TT as well. How important is the enjoyment aspect of it?
Yeah, I mean, you've got to enjoy it. If you don't, I've heard before there's been people that have gone out there, done their first couple laps and said, you know, it's not for me. And I'd imagine that's a very tough decision to make after you've put all the effort in to get there. But the whole reason you race bikes is to enjoy yourself. So I'm sure I'm going to enjoy it.
2025 Manx Grand Prix debutant Sam Norton there. Well, another of those local newcomers to the Manx Grand Prix will be Grant Thompson. It's been quite the rise through the ranks for the rider in the last 2 years, having only first begun racing back in 2023. Here in Ireland this year alone, he took two victories at the Pre-TT Classic, produced a string of positive performances at the Southern 100 Road Races, and has been a frontrunner during the Andrus Racing Association Championships. So, in his eyes, what's been the key to all this progress?
To be fair, a bit late into it, you know, starting in 23, so it was smash everything out in the first year, all your licences, and then going to the road circuits for the Southern and everything to build up. But I think bike time's really helped, you know, going across the UK and racing over here locally and obviously doing the Southern 100 and everything like that. You know, it's all been massive stepping stones.
What have you enjoyed most about the progress you've made? Is it the steady, I suppose, increase in pace? Is it how everything has just moulded together? What have you enjoyed the most about it?
I've just really enjoyed, the progress of everything, stepping forward and making basically bigger moves as the years go on. Like this year, we've gone back to the Southern and beaten every personal best, and we finished better than we did last year, and learning everything, it's hard work, but when you see the progression of it all, it is a sigh of relief to know that you are moving in the right step.
What did the experience of Balaun teach you about your first insight into road racing?
I think with obviously scratching the itch, really, learning the craft of road racing, there's no runoff. You've got to be pinpoint perfect every time and just basically building up, like with the Southern and the pre-TT, it's been a massive learning curve for me and getting to experience track with other bikes. So learning how to overtake them safely and, not rushing into things. Like, you can complicate things by thinking you need to push harder or, making stupid mistakes by doing it. So just basically learning everything that's helped me to get to this point.
Do you have any objectives in mind for MGP, or are you just taking it as it comes?
I'm taking it as it comes, definitely. It all depends on laps. You don't know how many laps you're going to get, whether or not you're going to get a full week of perfect weather and loads of track time, or if, the rain can start play. I've got a few little goals in my head. Hopefully I'll do it. If I don't do it, then, it's not the end of the world, because at the end of the day, I'm still a newcomer. We all want to be stood on the top of that top step, and I think it would be nice if we could repeat what Joe Yearsley and Marcus Simpson done, but at the end of the day, it's all down to the day, and I've got no pressure on myself and no pressure from any of the team or anything, so it's just have fun.
Not just yourself, but there's multiple ARA graduates yet again involved in this year's event. What do you think that says about club racing on the Isle of Man, that the likes of yourselves and others yet again this year are getting the chance to start their mountain course journey, if you want to call it that?
It's mega to see, the six of us Manx lads going into the Manx Grand Prix this year, so it's been a good bit of banter with us all, and we've all come through ARA, and look at the previous lads that have come through, Marcus Simpson, Joe Yeardsley, Jamie Kringle, Ryan Kringle, Paul Cassidy, Dave Rigby, we're all up at Jerby, we all swap paintwork, so it's definitely good to have everyone on board, and it just shows that the Isle of Man has got some good riders.
Local MGP newcomer Graham Thompson there, and before that, fellow debutant Sam Norton. Well, as alluded to already, they are two of six Andrus Racing Association riders in total making their MGP debut in 2025, and the others are Wayne Avis, Luke Blevins, Dale Brew and Blake Kelly. So best of luck to all those ARA riders, and indeed all newcomers taking part in this year's Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT.
Manx Radio Sport.
Taking a look at a different side of it in this year's Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT sees not just the return of the latter event for the first time in 6 years, but a move back to a longer racing schedule. Both events are running parallel to one another on the mountain course from the 17th to the 29th of August. In the last 3 years, from 2022 to 2024, the MGP operated on a shorter 9-day format, a system which came in for heavy criticism at times. One of the organisations unhappy with that approach back then was the MGP Supporters Club. Well, now, with a switch to a longer programme, what do they think about this change? Well, MGP Supporters Club chair is Alan Brew.
Reaction was relief, actually. Really pleased to hear the news earlier this year. I think last time I had a chat with you a couple of years ago, it was regarding the format, which was a reduced format. And I think in a two-minute interview, I said disappointing about six times. So to get the news this year, it was really good. We're back to 2 weeks, effectively. Now, the format is slightly different with the classic races after the Manx Grand Prix races, but in principle, really pleased.
What benefit do you think it'll have quite generally for those associated with the Manx Grand Prix, whether it's away from the competitive side, let's say those who support it and want to come and see it and want to see what the quality event is like? What impact do you think expanding the event will have on that?
I think it's great for the island, actually. I mean, to have the format back as it used to be, where you had 2 or 3 days of downtime, not only for the visitors but for the marshals, that allows them to get out, see the island, spend a bit of money, hopefully, and that can only be good for the Isle of Man. not just for the event.
And for the competitors as well, it's a long near 2 week schedule that they have to go through as well from their side of things, or maybe people you've spoken to as well. What have they said about the fact that, I suppose, competitors get, yes, they get more track time, but also if the weather plays ball and circumstance allow, more time for rest and recuperation in between?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of privateers for the Manx Grand Prix. They're not factory riders as some of the classic riders are. So the privateers, they need the time. They need the time for preparation, check the bikes, etc., etc. So from their point of view, to have the expanded format and a bit more time, it's positive for them.
The fans as well. What have fans maybe said to yourself and the supporters club generally about moving to this expanded schedule?
Based on the feedback last year, the reduced format that we had, it was negative. So it can only be positive this year for the fans. They've got more time, etc., etc. So, and hopefully they'll be popping into our marquee at the rear of the grandstand and make some donations.
And of course, it's quite a special year for the Manx Grand Prix Supporters Club because it is the 50th anniversary of the club as well. So that's a pretty special year for yourselves.
Yes, it's a real milestone. I mean, the club was actually founded in 1975. So here we are 50 years later, we're still going. And to date, we've actually donated, helped rescue helicopter in the past, donations to riders, injured riders, over 1.2 million in that 50 years. So it's a fantastic achievement. And that wouldn't be possible if we didn't have the support, visitors making donations, popping into the marquee during the Manx Grand Prix. So it's a real milestone for us.
With it being such a milestone year for the Supporters Club, have you got any particular events or anything planned at all?
On Sunday the 24th, it's invitation-only event in our marquee at the back of the grandstand. And because it's 50 years, we've decided we're going to invite a rider, an MGP rider, from every year since 1975. So we're going to have winners, rostrum riders, one from every year from 1975.
That was Alan Brew, the chair of the MGP Supporters Club, speaking about his and the Supporters Club's views on the newer, longer 12-day schedule for the Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT in 2025. And as we've heard just there, a special year for the MGP Supporters Club, their 50th anniversary this year. Meanwhile, when it comes to racing on the Snaefell Mountain course each year, one man in particular is always at the centre of things. Clerk of the course, Gary Thompson, like many, remains hopeful we'll see good conditions for racing over the next 2 weeks. And he told me this week about how he thinks the expanded new schedule can also benefit from the view of the race organisers.
For us, it's really business as usual. Over the last couple of years, we see the event reduced. But in terms of it being put back to the two-week schedule, working alongside the promoter for both events, events, Department for Enterprise for the Classic TT, and obviously the Manx Motorcycle Club for the Manx Grand Prix. We listened to all the comments last year after the problems we had at last year's Manx Grand Prix due to the weather, and obviously the all the issues that came with that. But we've listened to all the comments, we've read all the comments on Facebook, and now with the resurrection of the Classic TT, from my point of view, it does make it easier because we've got more flexibility around the schedule. Yeah, it should be a good 2 weeks racing. We've got the weather. Yeah, we've got the weather until at least 30 next week. A ridge of high pressure until 30 of next week. So all things being equal, we start on Sunday and we should hopefully have all the Manx Grand Prix lads qualified by Tuesday evening.
Previous schedule, the 9-day format, came in for quite a bit of criticism at times. Some people talking about, is there enough wiggle room, as it were, if there are any disruptions and so on. So how much does feedback from the likes of not just competitors but supporters also feed into the decisions made around how these schedules are made?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously we do listen to what people say. I mean, I think people do need to bear in mind that the issues we had at the Manx Grand Prix event last August was in weather terms unprecedented. I mean, we had a hellish 9 days, to be honest. But having said that, we did have lots of contingencies. There were a number of contingencies. We had the Wednesday afternoon, the Thursday afternoon, the Friday evening, the Sunday afternoon. So we had all the contingencies in place, but the whole event, not just the odd day, but the whole event was wrecked by weather. And it's the same for this year. Obviously, we've gone back to the 2 week format and we have a lot of contingencies in place. We've got the Wednesday afternoon, the Thursday afternoon, the Friday evening, the Sunday afternoon, the Tuesday, the Thursday. Yeah, we've gone back to a longer event. We've got two additional contingencies to cater for the extended the event back to, now we've gone back to the Classic TT being involved. But, you know, last year's, you know, I can't stress enough that last year's event was, in any terms, was unprecedented due to the bad weather that we experienced.
Now, one other side of it, when I've spoken to the promoters of the MGP, the Manx Motorcycle Club, last couple of years, and I've put to them, there's been a bit of criticism about the shorter format. One thing that they used to bring up at the time was we couldn't expand expanded because we didn't have sufficient martial and medical cover over that longer period of time. We've moved to this more expanded format. So just in your position as clerk of the course and all that you oversee, how confident are you there's enough martial and medical cover in place to make this happen?
Yeah, I mean, I've been doing a fair bit of work over the last couple of weeks with the TTMA. Obviously very, very conscious that we're starting on Sunday afternoon. And as I said, we've got good weather on Sunday. We know we've got good weather on Sunday afternoon and for the next few days into the middle of next week. So, you know, we need to take advantage of that. We are currently slightly short of marshals still for Sunday, but obviously we've got boats coming in between now and then. And I would like to say to anybody locally, if you haven't signed on yet, then please do so. I'm fairly confident we will be okay for Sunday, but we do need some more marshals to sign on. So, you know, the local marshals who haven't, if they can do so, that would be really helpful. We do need to get Sunday afternoon in and Monday and Tuesday, but more so Sunday afternoon, because, you know, we've got a natural reduction in light compared to what we have at the TT event in May. Obviously, we flag all the TT 10 minutes to 9 during qualifying week at the TT. At the Manx Grand Prix Classic TT, we have to flag all at 8 o'clock during qualifying week. So we automatically lose almost an hour's worth of qualifying practice. The newcomers as well, we've got about 34, 35 newcomers. We get the newcomers' lap done on Sunday. It just sets us up nicely then for the rest of the week.
One thing that came up from the shorter format, sometimes it was very, very long days, very tiring days for the likes of not just marshals, but the likes of the scrutineers. How much do you hope an expanded schedule will benefit the likes of marshals and scrutineers so they don't maybe feel used and abused?
I mean, I certainly hope nobody feels used and abused. I mean, like you say, I mean, for everybody, whether it's competitors, teams, those of us in race control, the marshals out on the course, you know, there have been some long days, and I try to make the decisions as early as we possibly can so that people don't go standing out on point, you know, for hours waiting for the decision to be made. And equally, same with the scrutineers. And if I can take this opportunity, I do appreciate and thank everybody for their resilience and patience in the past. Obviously, we had a testing TT weather-wise. We had a testing Manx Grand Prix last year. We are due a good one, actually, and we will get that in the next few days.
Manx Radio Sport.
That was Gary Thompson, the clerk of the course for this year's Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT. And incidentally as well, we did also get the thoughts of the MGP organisers, the Manx Motorcycle Club, their chair, John McBride, give his thoughts this week as well on the new schedule and the Manx Motorcycle Club's plans for Manx Grand Prix this year. You can see that over at manxradio.com. Well, with the racing just around the corner, you may have just heard it there from the clerk of the course, Gary Thompson, but marshals are urgently needed for the opening day of this year's Manx Grand Prix on Sunday, so that's the 17th of August. The TT Marshals Association is continuing to encourage both new and experienced personnel to sign up and help out on one or more of the qualifying and race sessions between the 17th and 29th of this month. One of the association's directors, Laura Sawyer, and chairman Jane Corlett explained that they're grateful for any help they can get, no matter how much, as little time as people can commit.
It can be as flexible as you want it to be. As a team, we're grateful whether it's for one session or 10 sessions. We're particularly keen on getting people to sign up for the earlier ones because the later ones are starting to fill up nicely. But, you know, there's always room for more marshals, but equally we don't expect everybody to do every single session because we do appreciate, particularly during the Manx Grand Prix when we rely very heavily on our local marshals. That means a lot of people taking time off work, using up holidays, and people have other things that they want to do with their holidays. So, you know, we appreciate anything that they can do.
I understand, particularly when it comes to the Manx Grand Prix, that the emphasis, if you like, the percentage is higher in terms of local marshals during the Manx Grand Prix than it is the TT. So how important for MGP is getting local marshals involved?
It's absolutely crucial. Both of the events, they require exactly the same minimum number of marshals to actually get going. And whereas for TT, we have far more visitors to the island, a lot more marshals come from off island. Between 25 and 30% of those marshals would be local marshals to the island. Whereas when we get to Manx Grand Prix Classic TT, then that figure is effectively doubled. It would be 50 to 60% of the marshals that we need are local marshals. We're particularly as well hoping that more of the experienced marshals will sign up. We're doing very well for novice marshals, but we have to get the dilution right. We have to have that experience around the course as well. And experienced marshals, they don't actually have to choose one particular sector out of the 12. They could choose sector after 0-0 and allow us therefore to place them exactly where the gaps are. That is important.
Manx Radio Sport.
That was one of the directors of the TTMA, Laura Sawyer, and TTMA chairman Jane Corlett there on the call for marshals, particularly for Sunday. So if there are any potential Orange Army volunteers out there, local or otherwise, considering signing on, they need you now more than ever to make sure things can get underway later in the weekend. Well, sticking with motorsport, but slightly away from MGP, a near £12,000 Manx Lottery Trust grant is providing a big financial boost for racing at the Jerby Circuit in the north of the island. The funds are being used to significantly upgrade the comms infrastructure at the track. Linda Alton-Heath and Carol Bartram of Andreas Racing Association describe how vital this equipment will be to its operations.
When our riders come to Jerby, we don't want them to kind of know what's going on behind the scenes. We want them to come to the track, race, enjoy the day, same as our spectators. The requirements that are placed on us and the needs we have for tech just grow literally by the week. The comms system that we had was outdated and it was a very basic system. We did have flaws with it recently on a number of occasions this year. Definitely we were very close to cancelling meetings, and this new system just resolved that for us. I can't explain how important it is to us to allow our clerk of the course to do his job, and this is what was needed.
And Carol, just off that, it's a fast-paced environment by its very nature as well, so to not have to worry about the challenges of maybe miscommunications or non-communication, how much will that streamline some of the processes that go on throughout the day?
I think it's massively important for the officials running the programme, as Linda has said, but most importantly for our clerk of the course, communications with medics, communications with race control, and to have no interruptions when there's an incident. And we know that we're comfortable in a position where we can get to riders, we can control all the comms. Daryl said in his quote, he said that our new system is on par, if not better, with the systems that he uses when he's clerking across in the UK. So that gives us a huge amount of comfort, knowing that not only we've purchased something that is incredibly important, but we know we've put the lottery grant to an especially good cause. We're absolutely delighted with the lottery grant. Couldn't thank them more.
Manx Radio Sport.
And finally tonight, we turn our attention to football, and a tough start to the season got even tougher in midweek for FC Isle of Man. Tuesday saw the Ravens on the end of a resounding 4-0 defeat at the hands of Earlham, which means the Manx side going to this weekend bottom of the table and without a win in their first four. Well, with a trip to Abbey Hay on the cards tomorrow afternoon, FC Isle of Man manager Paul Jones explains what kind of response he wants to see from his team on Saturday.
A positive one. There was elements of the performance that were okay. I thought we started the game quite well. We could have been ahead. It's not all doom and gloom, but is there any manager can't come and praise the players when you lose 4-0. So, you know, that's why the tone was the way it was. But there are some positives, and, you know, we need to keep working on them and making sure that we're, you know, better game to game and focus on the next 42 games that we've got in the season. So we're just really focused on improving and getting better, and realise there's a long way to go with the group that we've got, and that's going to drive us on to hopefully better performances and better results in the weeks ahead.
When we've spoken ahead of the season, you've agreed at times that, you know, particularly for the newer additions coming into the squad, it could be a bit of a baptism of fire at times. How do you balance trying to keep spirits up almost, that if you're not getting results, that they are moving in the right direction, even though it might not feel like it at the time?
Yeah, it's by kind of bringing their attention to the stuff that we're doing individually and collectively. It's difficult because they'll have all sorts of things going on when they're not with us, and all sorts of things that they'll be seeing and hearing that might kind of like make it harder for them to stick to task. But that's part of the nature of any football club. You know, when things are going well, it's very, very easy. And when they're not, or the perception is that it's not, then keeping people together and making sure that we're working hard for each other and that we're focusing on ourselves and the stuff that we need to do can become a little bit trickier at times. And, you know, ultimately the last kind of three seasons we've had periods like this, and got some players that have been through it before, but they're not necessarily in the minority, but, you know, they're still young themselves. So it's on us as the older people, the coaches and the managers and the more experienced players in the group, to give that perspective and to give that kind of context, and to make sure that don't get too low when things aren't quite going the way we want them to, and we enjoy it, but don't get too high and kind of carried away with ourselves, you know, when we start winning games. So, you know, even the most winning teams often only winning about 60% of the games on a, you know, a long-term basis. So losing is part of football, and how you handle that and how you prepare yourself for it and how you use it to motivate you so as it happens less frequently is is part of the experience and part of the learning that the group needs to do.
You've maintained that you believe there's a lot more to come from this squad throughout the season, but how do you try and avoid that negative feeling setting in? Because if results aren't coming, naturally it can lower morale.
It can, but again, it comes back to perspective and it comes back to how we talk to each other in and around the club. You know, we can't affect what other people say, but we can certainly affect how we behave and act and talk about things when we're together. And I think, you know, we've got some good experiences within the group to make sure that we can stay on track. It kind of have to, you know, it is kind of no negotiation and no wiggle room around that. So yeah, by focusing on the good stuff, by focusing on improving and developing and things that people can do to move their game forward and we can do to move our game forward, and that being the clear focus, that's the way you do it. And as I say, we unfortunately have some good experience of having to do that over the years. And, you know, I think people probably won't remember, but I've been a player in Isle of Man national sides and a coach and a manager in Isle of Man national sides, that when they used to come up against good competition, they very, very rarely got close. And it's a period of time and it's a period of process and improvement week to week that does get you to a point where you're able to not just compete but beat some really good teams. So no successful team has ever just rocked up and turned up and been able to do it. The advantage that some of our competitors have and most other teams in the world of football have is that when they bring new players in, they're hoping that they're going to be an upgrade on the players that they've already got. And our players that we're bringing in are capable of doing very, very well, but they're coming in with less experience than the people that are not around anymore. So that is always going to take a little bit of time. And the more of those players you have in a group, then the longer time it will take. And our job is to try and kind of shortcut that as much as we possibly can. And while we do that, there'll be, as I say, said in the interview, there'll be some ups and downs along the way, but we've got to be consistent in our support and our belief.
Paul Jones, FC Alabama manager there, ahead of his tie against Abbey Hay, 3 o'clock tomorrow at the Abbey Stadium. That's all about time we have on Friday Sport Preview this week. We'll be back in a couple of weeks' time following the conclusion of Manx Grand Prix and Classic TT. Enjoy the racing over the next near 2 weeks. But from us, until next time, it is bye for now.
Manx Radio Sport.